join us in singing our praises to the Lord.
Earth is shaking, and hearts awaken. Our God is moving, forever changing us. There is a trembling, there is revival, the sound of worship, so great and glorious. Holy Spirit, hear us now, laid on us. Holy fire, fall, come and fill this place with your presence. Like a rushing wind, send your Spirit here, breath of heaven, breathe on us, breath of heaven, breathe on us. There is a shaking, then hearts awaken, our God is moving, forever changing us. There is a trembling, there is revival, the sound of worship, so great and glorious. Holy Spirit, hear us now, breathe on us, holy fire fall, come and fill this place with your presence.
Listening to this week's message of hope on KBOR News Radio 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church here in Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love. This week, our senior pastor Dave Yonker starts our Restart sermon series with Matthew chapter 4 verses 1 through 11 titled Temptation. Stay tuned after the message for more music from our WOW band and to learn more about First Christian Church of Burlington.
This morning's scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Here begins the reading. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and night and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again, it is written, do not put your Lord, your God, to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, all these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In the summer in between college and seminary, my parents bought me a brand new computer. It was the year 2000, and back in the old days, in the year 2000, computers were big, and they were slow, and they weighed like 50 to 195 pounds, and they were a pain to move, and you kind of had to lug them around if you wanted to move them from room to room. But back in the year 2000, back in the good old days, these were great computers. My college computer, my seminary computer, had dial-up internet. It had dial-up internet, and whenever you plugged it into a phone line, it made this awful screeching sound like, kind of on and on and on and on. And whenever you were on the internet, no one could call in. And so you knew someone was on the internet if their phone line was busy for 95 hours a day, and they were always surfing the internet. And you had to get their cell phone number. But I had dial-up internet with the 56K or whatever it was. With this, I had my own email address. I thought I had arrived when I had my own email address. With this old computer, I could download illegal music off of Napster. I could surf the internet. I could listen to baseball games from all over the place and soccer matches from all over the world. I could even write my seminary papers on it, which is why my parents got me the computer in the first place, to write my seminary papers on it. And so I loved this year 2000 HP desktop computer. I thought I had arrived when I had one of my own. But as often happens with computers, you all know, especially ones from the good old days of the year 2000, after some time, they begin to slow to a halt. After a while, it would take a long time for an email to send. The pages would not be so quick to kind of start up and load. Sometimes I'd be typing along on some kind of major research paper for some New Testament class, and the cursor would almost kind of stop in kind of mid-sentence. And after a while, it took so long to start, I could literally get out of bed, turn it on, take a shower, have breakfast, and then come back to find the world at my fingertips with my computer ready to go. But there was this dude who lived down the hall from me in seminary, and he didn't have a computer of his own. Actually, he was the kind of guy who would go to like Circuit City or Best Buy and buy a computer and use it for like 2 weeks and then take it back and said it didn't work. And then buy another computer. He didn't make it through seminary, maybe because he was a liar, but, you know, that's a different story for a different day. But he would come knocking on my door in this kind of purgatory in between computers for him, and he wanted to use mine to check his email. And what I found is, like, he had 6 different email addresses, like Hotmail and AOL and Yahoo and anything you can think of. And so he would use my old HP 2000 desktop computer and he would open all the browsers and all the windows and all his email addresses at once. And he had so many things going at once that nothing was working. And soon the computer would like creep to a halt and soon everything would be frozen And he'd be trying to still start stuff, banging on the keyboard, and soon it would lock up. I'd have to kick him out of my apartment and hit Control Alt Delete and try to restart things. And if that didn't work, I had to press on the power button for like 15 minutes until it turned off and turned back on. My old poor HP 2000 desktop computer finally died a painful death. We had a little ceremony for it, a little graveside service. It finally died after I graduated and got ordained, but I can kind of blame it on the dude down the hall that it lived a good life. I'm super pumped today because we are starting this brand new sermon series called Restart. It's the season of Lent in the church. The colors of the church have changed. It's now purple in front of us in the season of Lent. We began on Ash Wednesday back here in the church. We are on this 40-day journey of self-reflection, of repentance, and of kind of introspection as we work our way toward Holy Week, toward Palm Sunday, to the empty tomb on Easter. And so this season has been set aside for us in the church to intentionally work on our faith. In this season, some of us have given things up, so we can try to focus more on God's love moving in our life. Some people have given up chocolate and sweets and like soda and coffee. Some people have given up social media and Facebook or whatever in their life. Other people have tried to take other things on to try to deepen their life. Maybe they have some kind of devotion now that they're trying to read every single day. Or they're trying to read the Bible more or say the Lord's Prayer every day. Or simply be present and see the face of Christ with people who are standing right in front of us. However we observe the season of Lent, this is a time to restart our life of faith. If we find ourselves taking a step back and realizing that we have too many things going on, we're like an old, tired, slow computer and HP desktop from the year 2000 with too many windows and too many browsers open, this is a time set aside in the church to refocus and begin our lives of faith again. And so this is what we are about in the 6 weeks in the church together, a time to restart our lives of faith. And it's going to be great together in worship. And so we begin today with this story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. We heard the reading of Jesus in the wilderness. But what we didn't hear is the story immediately before the temptation in the wilderness. For if you go home and you open up your Bible, not to Matthew 4 and the temptation, but the end of Matthew 3, you see Jesus getting baptized. Maybe you've heard that story, coming to John the Baptist there at the River Jordan, pleading with him to be baptized, and when he is, the heavens open up, the voice of God comes down and says, "You are my son, the beloved," and the angels sing, and the dove comes and lands on the shoulders of Jesus, and it's a wonderful and it's a holy type moment of the baptism of Christ. And immediately after he's baptized, the very next verse after he's baptized, before his hair is dry, before his clothes are wrung out, before he has on like his beauty pageant sash again, immediately after this, the Spirit leads him out to be tempted. For 40 days and 40 nights, and Jesus, the story says, is banished. And while he's on empty, we heard the tempter comes to him. If you're so hungry, and if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread, the tempter says. We know you're going to be out healing and feeding the 5,000 with just like five fish and like two loaves in just a short amount of time. And so everyone knows you can do it. Turn these stones to bread. The tempter comes again and says, takes him to this high mountain up there on top of the temple and says, throw yourself down. We know the angels are going to come and scoop you up. You know that God was not going to harm you and keep you safe. Everyone knows what you say you are. The third time the tempter comes and takes him to the top mountain and says, if you bow down before me, all the glories and all the worlds, all the kingdoms down below, if you bow before me, all these are yours. Jesus, each and every time, wants no part of what the tempter has to offer. No part. And it takes place immediately after he's baptized. When the Holy Spirit, when God comes upon him, when the voice of God shouts down from heaven, today at noon, our pastor's class, fifth graders, begin talking about baptism and what it means to be baptized here in our baptistry. And they're going to learn what a wonderful and powerful and a holy moment it is. And all the parents are going to be crying and all the grandparents are crying. It is a wonderful and amazing event. And immediately after Jesus is baptized, he's tempted in the wilderness. I mean, you would think that after Jesus is baptized, he had some kind of protection, some kind of insulation for a while, some kind of like 30 to 60 day warranty on his baptism, that he might only focus on God's love for a bit, but it doesn't work that way. So he's sent out. And when we come to faith, sometimes it actually makes our life harder. I mean, don't tell anybody that. I mean, they may not want to come to church if you invite them, that by coming to faith in Christ, it actually makes your life harder because you're held to a higher standard. But this is it for Jesus, anyway. And we can relate to what he is going through. We are tempted, too, at first with just like the small stuff in life. You know what it's like to give up chocolates and sweets for Lent, and then someone on like day two of Lent bring donuts into work. We know what it's like. We know what it's like to try to be better around the office and not get sucked into all kinds of gossip and all kinds of story, only to have someone come up to us and say, you're never going to believe what I heard, and you'd be dying to know what they heard. You know what it's like to stick to a diet or some kind of workout or say you're going to read the Bible every single day only to fall asleep or only give in or only have the excitement wear off after day six and just not be that into it anymore. We know what it's like to go through what Jesus went through. But it's not just the superficial stuff. It's not just the stuff up top. For temptation for us comes when we look at others and we feel insecure about what we have. That we have so many material things and so many boxes that fill our basements, but we feel like we should have something more. Temptation comes in judgments that we make in our own mind, never vocalized, only in our heart, about strangers, in people that we see walk down the street, about their life and their path that they've chosen. Temptation rules us when we look away at people who are hungry and in poverty. Temptation gets in the way when we see each other not as children of God, but as a label or as some stereotype. And temptation wins the day when we get so caught up in all the stuff and all the trappings of life that we lose sight of what life means in the first place. You see, for us, temptation isn't being led up on top of the pinnacle or of the highest mountain or the temple and seeing all the things below us, but temptation lies within our heart. And it's hard. It's difficult because sometimes choosing the wrong is so much easier than finding the right, especially when no one is looking. It's difficult because we come to worship and we've been baptized and we follow Christ, and you would think that it would be easier. But sometimes temptation comes knocking at every thought and at every door. But that's why Lent is before us. Because here is this time to start over. It was like back in the day when I was a kid playing ball in the backyard. And we were playing ball and playing baseball, and a bunch of the friends in the neighborhood were there, and someone would hit a ball down the line, and no one could tell if it was fair or foul, if it was in or out. And after kind of haggling for a while, well, I thought it was fair, and I thought it was foul, and I'm going to get a double. And finally, after a while, someone says, do-over. Everyone proclaims, do-over. Go back to your bases. Go back home and do the whole thing over again. Go back to your base. Throw that pitch again. It's a do-over. And Lent is that for us. And the good news of the gospel meets us here. The good news tells us that as much faith as we have in Jesus Christ, and as much as we feel called to be baptized and have the Spirit of Christ rest upon us and place our trust in God's love, as often as we have faith in Jesus, He has faith in us. We choose God because God first chose us. And so we don't face our struggles alone. There is no trial, there is no temptation, no struggle or pain that Jesus Christ has not seen before. We do not walk through this lonesome dark valley alone, but Christ is with us to carry us and to comfort us and to help us choose the right over the wrong. And we have faith in Him because He has faith in us. And that's the good news. And so here is this time. Here are these 6 weeks to restart and to deepen our faith again, as if for the very first time. May it be so today. Amen.
Hi guys, my name is Justin Livingston, and I'm the youth minister here at First Christian Church. I would like to invite all middle school and high school age kids to our youth group on Sunday nights, Crosstown High. Middle school meets from 5:30 to 6:45, and high schoolers from 6:15 to 7:30. We have a great time with Bible studies, games, food, activities outside of our church, and mission trips. We hope that all of you will come out and be a part of all the fun.
We also have small groups for people of all ages, and we believe there is no better way to deepen your relationship with God than in a community of faith. So we hope that you will join us for Sunday school at 9:50 every single week, where we have classes for adults and infants and children, and we have special classes on Wednesday night called Midweek Miracles for infants through fifth graders. You can find out about this and so much more by going to our website at burlingtondoc.org. Hi, this is Dave Yonker, Senior Pastor at First Christian Church here in Burlington, Iowa, and we are so excited about these special worship services coming up in the life of our church. Every Thursday in March and in the first week in April, we're having special Lenten Thursday night worship service at 6 with a little soup supper to follow at 6:30. And so if you're looking for a way to deepen your life of faith on this road toward Easter, we hope that you'll join us for worship this Thursday night. We also hope that you'll begin making plans to celebrate the resurrection on Easter Sunday morning with us on April 16th. We will have 3 services on that morning at 7 a.m., 8:45, and 10:45. And an Easter egg hunt for kids at 10 o'clock. It is going to be an awesome morning of worship, of celebration of the resurrection of Christ, and we want you to celebrate with us here. And as winter has turned into spring, we hope that new life is springing up in your life this week, and you feel the presence of God's love. Thanks a lot.
next week as Pastor Dave continues our Restart Sermon Series with Born Again, with scripture from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17.
Thanks for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church Disciples of Christ here in Burlington, Iowa. We are located at 1221 Park Avenue on the south side of town in between the airport and Dankwart Park. If you're looking for a church home or looking to find a relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time, we hope that you will join us for worship this Sunday morning. We have two services every week. Our traditional service is at 8:45 a.m. and features old-time favorite hymns and a wonderful anthem by our chancel choir. Our contemporary service is at 10:45 and features our amazing band and music that you hear from today's Christian radio. Both services offer a hope-filled and challenging message for today, activities for youth and children of all ages, and open communion for all who believe in Christ. There is no better way than to begin your week with worship, so I hope you will join us. You can find out more information by going to our website at www.burlingtondoc.org, and you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @BurlingtonDOC. We hope you have a great week and share the love of God with someone today.
Everybody falls sometimes. You gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take. But you're stronger, stronger than you know. Don't you give up now. The sun will soon be shining. You've got to face the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end, even when the sky is falling. Life is so much more than what